God, isn't it? Woo! That's why I just keep on going, man. You know, when the enemy throws something in your path, just keep on going. You can turn me down now. Don't turn me off, but turn me down, right? God is good. Laughter doeth good like a medicine.
Amen.
Amen. He is so good. You can still turn me down some more. Not off. As his divine power, come on, let's look at this. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Hold up your Bibles today. Let's say it like we mean it. Say it with Pastor. Come on. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody this morning and say, you've got the power in you. Would you do that? Amen. You've got the power in you this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We've been talking on having our authority, that we as believers, we've been given the authority of God to make a difference in our lives, in our families' lives, and in those around us. Amen. We have the authority of God here on this earth. God gave us authority. Jesus gave us authority. And I know we're familiar with this verse. I know you've heard me talk on this verse, teach on this verse. But I want you to look at this verse in the Amplified, because I think the Amplified really kind of brings out some of the Greek meaning in this verse. So he's going to put it up in the Amplified, and I want you to look at this. For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things. Let's look at the regular Amplified. Can we just look at the regular Amplified? That's good, but I kind of want to look at the regular Amplified, all right? For his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely. Absolutely. Everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness. A dynamic spiritual life. Not a mundane, not to just get through, not to just barely make it, not an oh me. Come on, someone. Amen. Do you know any Christians like that at times? Any believers like that? Oh me, oh my, oh dear. Gloom, despair, excessive misery, right? Remember that old tune? Somebody remember some of your hee-haw fans out there? You know, excessive misery, deep, dark depression set in on me. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Well, that's a lie from hell. God has absolutely bestowed in our spirit man everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life. Dynamic. Amen. That's why Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly, to give it to you dynamically, so that you won't just make it through this life. Amen. But you'll live this life and reign in life. Amen. Reign in life as king and priest. That is our position. That's who we are. And that's what we've been given within us, to have a dynamic spiritual life. Dynamite. I love JJ, man. So a dynamic spiritual life. And so many times we seem that, you know, people seem not to be living that type of life. But God wants us to live that type of life. And the message of grace that you have here, that you hear and that is being preached to your ears, and hopefully you are receiving, gives you the ability to be in that position to live and receive this dynamic life. Because the message of grace versus the message of religion, the message of grace takes all condemnation away from you, all guilt, all shame, all bitterness, not feeling loved, not feeling like I've got to perform good enough to get there. The grace message, God's message, the gospel message, takes all of that away from you so that you can receive all that he has for you, so you can absolutely have everything for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness in this world. Why is that? Because you have a personal knowledge of him. Through true and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. I want to tell you, when Jesus was on this earth, he lived a dynamic life. He set an example for the church to live a dynamic life. We are to be overcoming obstacles and circumstances and not being overcome by them. But so many times, because we walk in this earth suit and we have all these emotions and all these feelings, that we've got to get past that through faith. That's where we have the channel of faith. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying this morning. How do you get past those feelings? How do you get past those things? You have faith working in your life. Faith is what overcomes your feelings. Faith is what overcomes your feelings. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight, not by our feelings. We walk by faith. What we do in this life, everything is by faith. The Christian life is a faith life. We are justified by faith. That's why God calls us and claims to us and gives us the ability of being justified just as if I have never sinned. And we have that position. How? Through works? No, by faith. We overcome by faith. Every fiery dart the enemy throws at you, you overcome by faith. Amen. Faith is the vehicle which we overcome with. And you have that faith living in you. The moment you believe, that faith is deposited in your spirit. It is the very same faith that Jesus had to live a dynamic life on this earth. Jesus was dynamite. Amen. And he wants us, I believe, to have that same type of life. We have the ability to call forth those things that are not as though they are. How do we have that? We have it through faith. Let me give you a little example of Jesus' dynamic living over circumstances, all right? Look at Mark 14, 22 through 31, amen? Wow, you've been set under and are seated under a grace teaching. And when you hear the grace message go forth, you're being washed, whether you know it or not, by the Word of God. And that Word of God washes, it cleanses us as a filter. It cleanses our mind. It gets us back on right thinking like we should be thinking and not thinking. Because that Word is impacting you in your mind, and as you hear the Word going forth every Sunday, and as you receive the Word during the week, hopefully you do have a devotional time. Hopefully you hang out with Jesus. Three of you said amen. Help me, Jesus. Help me be better, Lord. Hopefully you hang out with Jesus. Anybody have any windshield time? You know what I'm talking about? Where you're driving and you got a windshield in front of you? That's a great time to be hanging out with the Lord. Right? Hopefully you hang out with Jesus and you allow the Word to feed into you and you agree with what that Word is saying. You start speaking it out of your mouth. You start agreeing with that Word. Amen. And you just live in that atmosphere of God's Spirit and God's Word. And when you do, you never can be depressed. And you never have a bad day. You might have a bad moment, but your mind flips back to the Word of God. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa, hey, this is what I got. This is what I've got. What? Amen. You do some whooping on the enemy. You're blessed because the majority of the body of Christ does not know what they have. They're at the enemy's disposal. They're at his every whim, his every thought. They live out of their feelings. They live out of their flesh. They live out of their emotions. They live in that area, in that arena. But you know how to reel it in and get it lined up with the Word of God. And therefore, because you know how to do that, you are overcoming every day in your life instead of being overcome by circumstances, by what Fox News, CNN says, or anybody else out there says. You overcome because you know who you are. are in Jesus Christ and you have the victory. You're not trying to get a victory. You have the victory in you this morning. Turn to somebody and say, well, he's talking to me right now. You should get real excited about that. Oh, he's talking about me. He's talking about me right now. That's me. I got the victory today that overcomes the world. We can go just to the King James here, brother, the New King James. Thank you. Mark 14, or Matthew 14. I'm sorry, Matthew 14, 22. Matthew 14, 22. I think that's where I want to go. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him on the other side. Notice he made them. He compelled them. Guys, I want you to get in this boat, and I want you to go to the other side. Turn to somebody and say, you're going to the other side today. You're not going to be stuck where you are. Listen to me. You are not going to be stuck where you are. You're not going to be stuck in a mundane life. God's got purpose and goodness and blessings in your life and for your family. You're going to the other side. Amen. He's got prosperity for you. He's got healing for you. You're going to the other side. You do not have to be stuck where you are. Depression has no hold over you today. You're going to the other side. Sickness has no hold over you today. You're going to the other side. Emotional instability has no hold on you today. You're going to the other side. Why? Because Jesus said it. Jesus said it, and if he said it, I believe it. I don't know about you, but I believe what Jesus said. Go before him and go to the other side. And he sent the multitudes away. Sometimes you've got to break away from the crowd. Religious people will put you in a box. Religious people will they will mess up your thought life if you listen to them. Sometimes you've just got to get away. You've just got to get away and just say, hey, I just can't go there. Know who you're fellowshipping with. Sometimes it's hard to detect, but know what they believe. Know who you're fellowshipping with, because some people will just drag you down and be glad to do it. It's like, you know, when you go crabbing. Anybody ever go crabbing before? Anybody, if you've been in the East Coast, you go crabbing, you take a bucket, you find one crab, you put the crab in the bucket, and you find another crab, and you put that crab in the bucket, and you never have to worry about the second crab going out of the bucket because the first crab will keep pulling him back down. It's true. Crabby. Don't hang around crabby people. Find somebody positive that knows what you know, believes what you believe, and hang around them. And then hang around unbelievers, because unbelievers don't know any better, and you can give the truth to them. And sometimes unbelievers seem a little bit happier than religious people. In fact, religious people are the most miserable people I know. They're miserable. And they want you to be miserable too. Oh, don't have too much grace. It's amazing how religious people give so much grace to people who aren't saved, but once they get saved, the grace stops. Oh, I'm preaching real good. Come on, Pastor. Come on, man. Come on, buddy. Oh, yeah, you can save that drug addict. Oh, God, you can save that problem. Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving that. And immediately, you better start changing. And start pointing the fingers. Grace people don't do that. Grace people love people into Jesus. Grace is about loving people into Jesus. Love keeps people in Jesus, not religion. Oh, thank you. Come, we can do real better than that. Come on. Amen. Love is the most powerful, man, that's just, Jesus. Love is the most powerful force, God's love on this universe. That's why he said, for God so loved the world. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, God loved us. That is mind-blowing, except for understanding grace. And while you're still a believer, let me tell you, God still loves you. You're perfected in your spirit, but this outer man we're still working on. And you don't always get it right. Come on. Turn to somebody and say, oh, don't get religion on me. You don't always get it right. Amen. In here, you're right. In your spirit, you're perfected. But out here, you're renewing your mind to what everything you've got in here. And sometimes you don't get all this right up here at times. And the enemy comes in, you start believing what he says. If you're not filled with what the Lord says, you start believing that junk. And all of a sudden, you find yourself doing things that you didn't think you would do. But you know what? God loves you while you still do the things that you wouldn't think you do. God still loves you, and God still has grace for you to get you out of that and get you back where you belong. When somebody's wounded, you don't kick them. You don't kill them. You heal them. Listen to me. When somebody's wounded, when somebody's in the body of Christ and they're walking this grace walk, or they're walking their life and they run into trouble, or something happens in their life, or they do something wrong, you don't shoot them. No, you pour in the oil and the wine and you say, hey, what are you thinking? And you try to get them back to where they need to be, or where you feel like they are in Christ, and start realizing what they have. But you don't judge them. You don't pour condemnation on them. You love them. You pour the love of God on them. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, you might need that. We might need that. We need the love of God, don't we? All right, y'all still with me? So he sent the multitudes away. Let's go on down here. Praise the Lord. Look at this. I love this verse. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up in the mountain by himself to pray. I think if that's good enough for Jesus, it should be good enough for us, right? He went to the mountain to pray. Prayer, I believe, you know, prayer is just, it's a wonderful thing. But prayer, we talked about the prayer of commandment where Jesus used that. But I really believe what he was doing is fellowshipping with the Father. Prayer is about fellowshipping with God. It's about listening to what God is speaking to our hearts through his word. It's about praising him and worshiping him. Amen. It puts you in that position of knowing your authority as a believer. And that's what he was doing. He was communicating. I believe he was just communicating, saying, hey, Daddy, it's been a tough day today. These disciples, man, I'm telling you what, man, Pastor and these guys are a challenge at times, Lord. You know that Peter guy? Come on, somebody. Amen. Wow, I don't know what he said, but I believe it was a fellowship, a communion with the Father. And it's always two ways. Prayer is always a two-way communication, right? Now, when evening came, he was alone there. Wow, what a beautiful scene. Just alone with Jesus. Man, that's awesome. Next verse. Amen. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. The wind was contrary. Right? So there was a fierce wind going on. The wind was contrary. The seas were rough. Jesus sent the disciples over. Said, guys, I want you to go over to the other side. Gave them the word. They were going to make it over, no doubt about it. But it was the wind came up. Things come up in our life, and we need to know how to handle the things that come up in our life. And God has given us the authority to handle those things. Things were coming up and happening. Look at the next verse. Look at this. I love this. Now in the fourth watch was the darkest part of the night. It was the very latest part of the night, like 3 a.m. in the fourth watch, in the watch at night, Jesus went to them. How did Jesus go to them? He went to them walking above the circumstances. He went to them walking above the circumstances. Walking on the sea. The very thing that was causing calamity in their life, Jesus was above that very thing. Jesus is above the very thing that might challenge you in your life so that you can have, God wants you to have that spiritual dynamic life. Jesus is above those things. In fact, the name of Jesus is above every name. Hallelujah. Anything the enemy would throw at you, the name of Jesus is above it. Turn to somebody and say, did you get that? Next verse, look at this. Amen. So here's where we come in at. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out with fear. Now, they've been with Jesus for a long time, and they didn't recognize Jesus. And sometimes when we're going through things, our focus gets more on what we're going through instead of on Jesus. And people will surround you and try to get your focus on what you're going through. It's bad. It's bad to take, you know, to have drama yourself, but it's really bad to take on somebody else's drama. Get some Job friends around you, right? Some of them Job people going, well, you know, there must be something going on in your life for you to be going through something like this. What? Liar? Get behind me, Satan. No, you must have done something, man. It's amazing. No. Things happen in this life because we live in this fallen world, right? Right? But it doesn't mean that we can't overcome what we live in. Because God's given us the authority, the power, and the anointing to overcome anything that the enemy would throw against us. But when we're going through it, we begin to look at different things, and all of a sudden the first thing that wants to come into our life is fear. Fear is the first thing you always face when you go through something. Fear is the first obstacle you go through. And the only way fear goes out is knowing how solid God's love is for you. And when you know how solid God's love for you is for you, fear can't stay around. Fear has to go. And where fear goes, amen, faith comes in. So they cried out with fear. They didn't even recognize Jesus when they were going through it. Next verse. It's going down. Amen. Next verse. But immediately Jesus spoke to them. What did he say? Hey, boys, I'm sorry you're having such a bad day. I'm up here, man. I'm just, you know, hey, guys, you know what? Hey, you can handle this. You're experienced fishermen, right? You've been here before. No, what did Jesus say? Be of good cheer. Turn to somebody and say, just cheer up. It would help you to just cheer up. Amen. You're not going down. Turn to somebody and say, you're not going down today. In fact, you're going up. Praise God. You're not going down. Things aren't going to, hey, you're going to get through this victoriously. Be of good cheer. And then he spoke these words because he knew where they were. He said, be not afraid. Do not be afraid. Don't allow fear to enter in. Where does fear enter in? Through our eyes? Through CNN? Through headline news? Through Fox News? Fear enters in through our eyes, through what we hear, to what we feel. But he said immediately, don't be afraid. Don't allow fear to come in. Now look at this. This is really interesting. And Peter, you guys know this scripture. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if. Jesus just spoke to him. And here's Peter's response, because he allowed these circumstances to so overcome him and his emotions, he didn't even really know if it was Jesus. His heart became so full of unbelief, and unbelief can enter in at a drop of the hat when we open ourselves up to fear and the circumstances that we go through. Turn to somebody and say, he's really teaching good right now. Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water, Lord. I love Jesus, so cool. You know, Jesus was a man of few words, especially when dealing in the area of faith. Faith requires few words when we respond in faith. He said, come. He didn't say, hey, Peter, how you doing, buddy? Hope you're having a good day. I know it's kind of rough out here at night, but, you know, I know you've been out here a while. And, you know, if you want to try to get out of the boat, you know, just, you know, let me help you a little bit here, Peter. No, he just said one word. He said, come. He gave the command, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water. Turn to somebody and say, I am a water walker. I overcome any circumstance. I overcome any circumstance. Because turn to somebody else, because I got Jesus on my boat. He did something. In fact, he did the very same thing that Jesus did. He was walking above the circumstances that were about to take him down. walked on the water. Next verse. But when he saw, here comes his seeing, his emotions, his feelings, the sound, the wind was boisterous. He was what? Fear came back in. Fear always comes back in through our eye gates, what we hear, what we feel, what we see, right? He was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out and said, Lord, save me. Jesus is so cool. Turn to somebody else and say, Jesus ain't going to let you drown. You know, when our girls were little and we'd go to a pool, and it was very seldom we did because it seemed like we never took a vacation. And if we did, you know, we'd go to a little hotel and spend the night at a pool or something. And or it was either going or coming from seeing Holly's parents. But I'd get them on the side of the pool, and they were little, and they were so afraid to jump in, right? And I'd stand there, and finally I'd coach them. I'd say, come on, Kay, come on. You know, Elise, come on. You know, and they'd jump towards me, and I'd grab them, of course. And they'd laugh. They had such a good time. I remember that. It was just awesome. If you got kids, it's awesome. Grandkids are even awesomer, right? Amen. And they'd come to me. And they came to me because they trusted me. They knew that Dad was not going to hurt them or let them go or make them afraid. That's the trust we need to have in Jesus, right? Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. He was sinking. Jesus caught him and said to him, Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Next verse. Amen. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And when they got in the boat, the wind ceased. So he caught him by the hand. They both walked back on the water to the boat. He had to get back on the water, right? Caught him. So he was overcome in his circumstances. And when he did, the wind ceased. Amen? You've got power in you. Power is defined as the ability and authorization to get the job done. 1 John 2:20 says, But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You're not a dummy. You know all things. You have the power of God in your spirit. It's already been given to you according to what 1 Peter said there, 2 Peter 1:3. It's already in you, already a part of you. Amen? Look at Isaiah 10:27. Isaiah 10:27. Look at this verse of scripture. I want you to see this. The anointing, the ability to get results is already in you. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. The yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. The Assyrian army had oppressed Israel, had put the burden on them. It's like putting a foot on their neck. And God said here, because of that anointing, amen, that anointing is going to break and destroy that yoke, that burden on the neck, amen. It's that anointing you have in you that's going to destroy anything that you might be facing or going through. Come on, somebody. Amen. 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 And that yoke is destroyed. The power of God always remains the same. Hebrews 13:38 says, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have the same authority as Jesus. You have the same authority as Jesus. Amen. You can overcome this morning. You have the faith of God in you. You've got to release that authority, and you release that authority by speaking that word of God over your situation. Psalm 119, I believe it's verse 89, says this, Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God's word is settled in heaven forever. Amen. It's not going to change. Amen. Your love is there forever. Psalm 138 verse 2 says, I will worship you towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name and anything that can be named. Amen. That word is magnified above it. And when you speak that word and take your authority, you rise above the situations. Hallelujah. Man, God, you are so good. Lord, you are so good. let me give you one last verse this morning. Jeremiah 29, 11. You know this, and this is what I want to leave you with this morning. Look at this. Amen. Maybe I'll give you two. All right? Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 29, 11. You know this verse of scripture? Let's look at it. For I know the thoughts. I know the thoughts I think towards you. This is God towards us this morning, says the Lord. Thoughts of shalom, a dynamic spiritual life, peace, and not of evil. To give you a what, church? A what? A future. A future, and not only that, a hope. Hope, expectation of good. You can have expectation of good for your future, amen, because God thinks good towards you. He thinks good towards us this morning. And 2 Peter 3:9. So we stand in faith, amen. We stand in faith and we speak God's word. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness. Do you know we live in a day of slackness? Hello? Has anybody ever told you, hey, I'm going to be there at 10 o'clock and they never show up? Anybody ever do that before? Hey, I'll be there for sure. I'll be there at 6:30. And they never bother to call you, text you. Has anybody ever done that? Anybody seen that before? Anybody? We live in a day of slackness, but God's not slack. God isn't slack and God isn't lack. Amen. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, and God's not lacking in his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering. Turn to somebody and say, thank you, Jesus. Towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Wow, let's stand this morning. Amen. Come on. Amen. Come on, stand this morning. Let's give God some praise today. He is good. Hallelujah. Man, we've had some healings released, and if you continue, want some prayer, hey, that's fine. Amen? We want to pray for you. Crystal will be in room 3. She's there. I'll be glad to pray with you as well, and we'll be glad to pray with you. But this morning, I want you to understand who you are in the Lord, what you have in the Lord. You're not lacking anything in your spirit, man. You've got everything you need that pertains to life and godliness. Can we put that verse up again, brother, if we can, over in 2 Peter 1:3, and I want you to see us again in the amplifier. I want you to see what God has for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter 1:3. Praise God. You're so good. For his divine power has bestowed. It means given on us, put on us. Absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life. You are a water walker this morning because you're living under God's grace. Praise God. And that revelation of grace puts you on top this morning. You're overcoming. Could you raise your hands up this morning and say with Pastor today, I have a dynamic, dynamite, spiritual life and godliness. Life living in me. No death, but life. No disease, but life. Life in me. A dynamic life, a life full of God's grace and God's power living in me and flowing through me in Jesus' name, because I have the knowledge of Him living in my life. Come on, give God a praise this morning. Woo! I love that scripture. Listen. I got an assignment for you this week. I want you to go home. I want you to find that and amplified. I want you to get that. I want you to put it somewhere. And I want you to speak it over your life this week. Would you do that? Amen. And I want you to turn to 10 people this morning and tell them, I've got a dynamic life. Amen.